Of two services on Sunday morning, we do these weekly Bible prophecy updates. Second service, which will be live streamed at 10:45, actually, yeah, on the website. I got to get my times right. 10:45 Hawaii time. Is that right? Yeah, and then 11:15 is the teaching. Okay, wow. Whew. It's been a long week, just bear with me. So 11:15, if you're on YouTube or Facebook, which on the website, actually we start at 10:45 with the worship. We're currently going through the book of James. We're actually almost done with the book of James. Today we're going to look at not just the power of prayer, but why it is that prayer is so powerful, so much so that along with God's word and salvation, prayer is actually our most valuable and powerful possession. So that's what we're going to talk about today, 11:15 or 10:45 on the website. Also, speaking of the website, those of you that are on YouTube or Facebook, we would really encourage you to, at this time, actually go directly to jdfarag.org. There you will find the uncensored, uninterrupted entirety of today's update. So with that, let's get started. I want to talk with you about how everything happening in the world today is now checking off all of the prophetic boxes, as it were, if I can borrow that metaphor and idiom. The list of prophecies in the Bible are today either already coming to pass or on the cusp of coming to pass. And I know we talk about this on a weekly basis, but the swiftness with which everything is coming to pass is absolutely staggering and stunning. So what follows, though not exhaustive, is a list of 10 such prophecies, and I want you to know that I went to great efforts to keep it at 10, because I had like 1,528 and I had to narrow it down to 10. 10 prophecies that we can either check the boxes off of as fulfilled or prophecies that are about to be fulfilled. So I want to start with the first box prophetically that was checked, and the date was May 14th of 1948. And really, to many, this particular prophecy is seen as the one that really got the ball rolling, so to speak. And it's the prophecy concerning the nation of Israel and the rebirth of Israel in one day. And this prophecy is found in Isaiah 66, verse 8. Who has heard such a thing? Who has seen such things? Shall the earth be made to give birth in one day, or shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion was in labor, she gave birth to her children. On one day, this prophecy was fulfilled, May 14th, 1948. Never before in the history of mankind was there ever a nation that returned as a nation with their language, with their culture, as a people to their land, and it was fulfilled. So, can we check that box off? Hope you brought your pens. Box number two. The Jews would return to their homeland. This is a well-known prophecy in Ezekiel chapter 37. I want to read verses 11 and 12 and then verse 21. Then he said to me, "Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They indeed say, 'Our bones are dry, our hope is lost, and we ourselves are cut off.' Therefore, prophesy and say to them, 'Thus says the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up from your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. Verse 21, then say to them, thus says the Lord God, surely I will take the children of Israel from among the nations wherever they have gone and will gather them from every side and bring them into their own land. Check. Box number 3. Israel would become one of the world's largest exporters of produce. I don't know if you know this or not. Isaiah 27, verse 6. Those who come, he shall cause to take root in Jacob. Israel shall blossom and bud and fill the face of the world with fruit. For those of you that have been to Israel with us, these next couple, three boxes that we've checked off and are going to check off, you've seen them firsthand. Eyewitnesses of them. Number 4, Israel would plant vineyards. This is Joel 3, verse 18. And it will come to pass in that day that the mountains shall drip with new wine, the hills shall flow with milk, and all the brooks of Judah shall be flooded with water. A fountain shall flow from the house of the Lord and water the valley of acacias. Check. Number 5. Israel would plant forests and trees. This is Isaiah 41, beginning in verse 18. I will open rivers in desolate heights and fountains in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water and the dry land springs of water. I will plant in the wilderness the cedar and the acacia tree, the myrtle and the oil tree. I will set in the desert the cypress tree and the pine and the box tree together, that they may see and know and consider and understand together that the hand of the Lord has done this, and the Holy One of Israel has created it as only he can and did. Check. Number 6. Actually, this was June of 1967 in what is affectionately referred to as the miraculous Six-Day War, in which, according to Bible prophecy, Israel recaptured their eternal capital, Jerusalem. This is Zechariah 12:6. In that day, I will make the governors of Judah like a fire pan in the woodpile and like a fiery torch in the sheaves. They shall devour all the surrounding peoples on the right hand and on the left, but Jerusalem shall be inhabited again in her own place. Jerusalem. Check. 1967. Just to put it into perspective as we turn a corner here, not that long ago, all of these prophecies heretofore that we've checked the boxes off on, starting in 1948, that's not that long ago. Don't look at me like that. All the young people are going, yeah, it is. That was a long time ago. Whatever. It's like, you know, when you're online and you're, you know, they want you to select the year that you were born. I hate that. You have to, like, keep scrolling. You know, scroll. Does it go back that far? Oh, there it is. Wow, it's like one of the last ones. Anyway, enough of my problems. Let's move on. All of these prophetic boxes can be checked off as being fulfilled, which now propels us to those prophecies that are today on the cusp of being fulfilled. And in the interest of time, I'll just simply mention one of the many other prophetic boxes that I truly believe, and we talk about this often, is just on the cusp of being fulfilled, and as such, the box being checked, and it's that of the prophecy found in Ezekiel 38, which you know well, as a prophecy about this Allied invasion of Israel from the north with Russia, Iran, and Turkey at the helm. That is about to be checked. I truly believe that. Well, number seven, here's another one that's about to be fulfilled. It's this intoxicating obsession of the entire world with Jerusalem, and not just this intoxicating obsession with Jerusalem, but specifically the dividing of Jerusalem. This is already in play today, and we've talked about it. It's a prophecy about to be fulfilled in Zechariah 12, verses 1 through 3. A prophecy. The word of the Lord concerning Israel. The Lord who stretches out the heavens, who lays the foundation of the earth, and who forms the spirit of man within him, declares, I, keyword, I am going to make Jerusalem a cup that sends all the surrounding peoples reeling. Judah will be besieged as well as Jerusalem. On that day, verse 3, when all the nations of the earth are gathered against her, I will make Jerusalem an immovable rock for all the nations. Some of your translations render it a burdensome stone. This is a boundary stone. They use stones to mark the boundaries. And, oh, you're trying to move the boundaries. You're trying to divide the boundaries. You're trying to cut up, as another translation renders it. Well, guess what? I'm going to cut you up. All who try to move it will injure themselves. You try to divide my land, I will divide you. You try to cut it up into pieces, I will cut you into pieces. By the way, you should probably be aware of the why behind the what of this, because Jerusalem is actually the city, and we've done updates on this. It's actually so fascinating, where throughout the Old Testament, we read that God has chosen Jerusalem out of all of the cities in Israel, out of all of the tribes of Israel, he has chosen Jerusalem to put his name of ownership. Literally, the name of God vis-a-vis the Sheen is on Jerusalem, the name of God. And you want to... That's my city. That's my city. And I've given it to my people. Not my people, the so-called Palestinians. No. Those are my people. My people Israel. It belongs to them. My name is on, literally on, Jerusalem. And if you try to divide it, and they are, and they will, you're gonna have to deal with me, because I'm going to deal with you very decisively and judge you. Number eight, this is another one we talk about. I truly believe that by virtue of what's happened over the last two and a half years now, back in January of 2020, the long-anticipated deal of the century was unveiled. And it was to bring peace to the Middle East. And I'll never forget the update I did subsequent to the unveiling of then President Trump's peace plan. But I quoted paragraph and chapter and page where it clearly states in no uncertain terms that in order to end the conflict, you have to end the claims. Wait, what? Yeah, end of conflict, end of claims. So you read on, and what you discover is that the so-called Palestinians, I say it that way for a reason, and the Jews have to, if they want to end the conflict, they have to end their claims. End their claims on what? Jerusalem. Oh, really? I think there's a prophecy or two about that. And one of them is in Daniel 9:27. So this all ties together. Because we're told he will confirm, I want you to hang on to that word for a moment, a covenant with many for 1/7, a period of 7 years. In the middle of the seven, the 3.5-year mark, he, speaking of the Antichrist, will put an end to sacrifice and offering, and at the temple, did you catch that? In other words, part of this peace agreement will include the rebuilding of the temple, because this prophecy presupposes that the temple is there at the 3.5-year mark. And the Antichrist is going to set himself up in the rebuilt temple at the 3.5-year mark, and he will set up an abomination that causes desolation until the end that is decreed is poured out on him. Real quick, this word confirmed is actually very similar to my native tongue of Arabic. It's the word ikbir. Ikbir. It kind of comes from and carries the idea of, I almost don't want to use this. When you hear a Muslim, Allahu Akbar, Akbar, that does not mean Allah is great, it means Allah is greater. Akbar. Allah, it's hard to say, I'm sorry. I had to say it. It is basically exalting the false god Allah. And by the way, Allah is a false god. Islam, a false religion, and Muhammad, a false prophet. So have a nice afternoon. So Akbar is kind of along the same lines as Ikbir. Greater, stronger, superior, spectacular. That's implying that there's already something on the table that has to be made ikbir, akbar, greater, stronger. We need to enforce it, confirm it. What are you saying, Pastor? Well, I think you know what I'm saying. I think the aforementioned deal of the century is going to get confirmed. According to Daniel 9:27, get your pen ready. Well, we're not going to be here. You better not be here. If you are here, you can check the box. But you better not be here to check the box. I'm sorry. It's been a long week. I would be grossly remiss if I did not also include with this prophecy 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4, because it comports, almost in a way, fills in a couple of blanks. The Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Thessalonica, of this says, he, speaking of the Antichrist, opposes and exalts himself above every so-called god or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, declaring himself to be God. He is referring back to the prophecy we just read in Daniel 9:27. This is when the Antichrist will declare himself to be God. And he will commit an abomination that causes desolation. Now, it's been speculation as to what this abomination that causes desolation is. Some suggest that he will sacrifice an unclean animal. I mean, just the declaration of being God in and of itself will be abominable. In fact, it will be this particular prophecy that the Jews will realize, wait a minute, this is not our Messiah. This is the false Messiah. This is the anti-Messiah, the anti-Christos, or anointed one, or Christ. And they will realize that they have been deceived, and they will flee for the last 3.5 years of the 7-year tribulation after this happens. And actually, if you get to Matthew 24, which is a well-known chapter, Jesus says to them, answering the question they had concerning the end of the age and his return, he's speaking to them as Jews, saying, pray that when this happens, there's this abomination of desolation, and he refers to Daniel, quotes Daniel, that Daniel talked about, when that happens, run! That's a very loose paraphrase. Don't even turn around and go back to your place and get anything. Leave your phone there. Run! Run to the place that is prepared for you, and pray that you're not pregnant when this happens, because that's going to hinder your ability to get out of there, and pray that it's not on the Sabbath, because transportation shuts down. Remember, for those of you that went to Israel with us, and when you go to the elevator on Shabbat, on the Jewish Sabbath, you push the button, push it again, it's not working. That's a Shabbat elevator. It doesn't work on Saturdays. So you have to go over to the unclean Gentile, you know, elevator, use that one. Anyway, I digress. Pray that your flight is not during the winter or on the Sabbath. And pray that you're not pregnant when this happens. Because when this happens, the Jews will realize that Jesus is their Christ, the true Christ, their true Messiah, the one whom they pierce. That's another prophecy for another time. Number 9. Again, these are boxes that are just, I mean, on the cusp of being checked off as fulfilled. The Antichrist will control the entire world. We've talked about this. I won't take a lot of time. It's really in 3 areas, starting with a global religion. In Revelation 13:4, you'll also see this in Revelation 17. We're told, so they worshiped the dragon who gave authority to the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with him? That's the global religion. And then the global government, Revelation 13:7. It was granted to him to make war with the saints. Now, please, 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 please. The saints in the tribulation are not the bride pre-tribulation. These are what we commonly and affectionately refer to as tribulation saints. Those who come to Christ after the rapture in the tribulation. He'll make war with the saints and to overcome them. And authority was given him over every tribe, tongue, and nation. That's all of the nations on earth. And then thirdly and lastly, and perhaps in some ways more importantly, a global economy, which, by the way, is, I mean, when I say on the cusp, that's almost an understatement. I'm actually, and I would covet your prayers on this, I'm working on an update with all the research I've been doing concerning biometric ID and cashless transactions that's already being implemented, by the way. And so we're told in Revelation 13, in a well-known passage in prophecy, that he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads, and that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. In other words, whatever this is, and we've talked about this in the past in prior updates, whatever this is will determine whether or not you're able to buy anything or sell anything for that matter. It will be predicated on you having whatever this is in your right hand or forehead. And don't just think face-to-face commerce. Don't just think going into the store. Think about going online and buying something online. And all of a sudden, a window pops up on the screen. Account suspended. Verification needed. What do you mean verification? Oh, you need to have this in order to buy what you're trying to buy online. Without it, nobody can. It is a cashless, digital technology already in use, already in place, that will use what's known as blockchain technology, which is a verification technology, verifies the transaction. Once verified, that block is added to the chain. That's what blockchain is, in a very simple way of explaining it. It's a verification technology. So once you've been verified, and that you have whatever this is, then you can go ahead and buy what you're trying to buy. But without it, you cannot. Well, this brings us to the 10th prophetic box that is, I want to say it like this. It's not only about to be checked off, it's already starting to get checked off. And I want to expound on it for the remainder of our time together, but in order to do that, we're going to go ahead at this time and end the YouTube and live stream on Facebook and redirect you to jdfarag.org if you're not already there. Number 10, the genocidal depopulation of the world. For those who are interested, we did a deep dive last year, 2021, on February 7th, titled The 10 Stages of Genocide. It was one of the most intense updates that I remember ever doing. In it, we look at how these 10 stages of genocide not only eerily describe with chilling accuracy what's happening in the world today, it could be argued that it is exactly what's happening in the world today. You go through all of these stages and you can pinpoint timestamps, if you will, as to exactly when that started and when that was in full force. And then as you get towards the end, you realize this is where it's heading. And we're not talking about far off into the distant future. No, we're talking about now. It's happening now. All of this is happening now, as we were told in the Bible it would. We really should not be surprised that this is the agenda, if I can use that word for lack of a better one. Here's the truth. Several passages in the book of Revelation collectively and prophetically describe this global genocide. I won't take the time to go through them, but I do think it's incumbent upon me to, at the very least, give you a summary of them. First, in Revelation 6:4, we're told that people will kill one another with a great sword. And the indication in this is that there are a great number of people. We're not told what that number is, but it's a great number of people that are killed. Then, in the next two verses, Revelation 6, verses 5 and 6, the third seal is open, and there will be additional deaths due to this great famine. Oh, come on. Have you seen the grocery store shelves lately? I actually took a picture of the shelf. It was so... I was like, Jesus, you're coming, right? Because the... Can you come now? Because I've never seen the shelves that empty before. And then if you can find food on the shelves, the price is, this is not an exaggeration, double, triple in some cases. So a lot of people are going to die because there's no food supply. We'll talk about that more in a moment. Add to these deaths the opening of the fourth seal in verses 7 and 8. And we're told that, get this, 1/4, 25% of whatever's left after all of that, we don't know what the population is going to be at this point, but 1/4 of whatever the population is that's left is killed. Then, if this weren't bad enough, Revelation chapter 8, verses 8 through 11, tell us that many people are going to die from destroyed ships and poisoned waters. So whatever, we don't have the number, but whatever is left at this point, many are going to die. Then you get to Revelation chapter 9, verses 15 through 18, where we're told that an additional... Now, keep in mind, whatever's left, 1/4 gone, then after that, gone. Now, an additional 1/3 of whoever's left of that population is killed. And depending on the population of the earth at the time this is fulfilled, during the 7-year tribulation, there wouldn't be many survivors. Now, I say that to say this. This global genocide, and it is a global genocide that has been in the works for many decades, it is beginning to come to pass vis-a-vis what's been dubbed the kill shot. And you know what I'm talking about. Pictured here is an article that was posted on July 27th from the Australian National Review titled, "Doctors Trying to Determine Why Young People Suddenly Dying." In it, they discuss what's known as SADS, which is the acronym for Sudden Adult Death Syndrome. Now, they've played with this and kind of softened it and taken the edge off of it, and they've changed the A from adult to arrhythmia or something like that. Nice try. but it's called SATS. It's this syndrome, where all of a sudden, people are just dropping dead. And these are young people, and they are healthy people, and we're trying to figure it out. I have been screaming at you and yelling at you and spitting on you for the last 2.5 years, telling you this was going to happen. And it's happening. By the way, don't waste your time trying to do research on the internet for this. I mean, you can try, but it's all censored or scrubbed. And all of the data that links these sudden deaths to the injection, well, here's what you'll find. It doesn't matter what search engine you use. Now, if you have a way to find this, please share it with me. Do tell. I'd be more than happy to use it, but any search engine that we have available to us will pull up only the fact-checking sites. And they are emphatic. I spent the better part of an hour, and then I had to repent afterwards for wasting the time trying to find some facts and figures. And every search result had fact-checkers. No connection whatsoever. Sudden deaths. No connection to vaccine. Really? Really? Here's the problem. One need look no further than to friends and family who are dying after being injected. Spoke to a pastor friend of mine on the mainland on Tuesday, and he told me that he's had 30 people in his church, young, healthy people, die suddenly after being injected. And these were young and healthy people. There's one more thing I want to share with you in this regard, and I've referred to Dane Wigington before, but Dane Wigington is the founder of geoengineeringwatch.org. In fact, we should have all of the links to everything on the website. There, it should be, the PDF file will have the links to everything. I would really encourage you, if you haven't already, to go to geoengineeringwatch.org. There's a documentary on that site titled The Dimming. And it really explains a lot about what's happening. But there's also going to be a link on there to this Rumble interview he did on June 18th with Maria Z, titled Vaccines in the Air and Relentless Poisoning of Humanity. This is a must-watch video. And I think for those of you that know me, I don't usually say that way, but this is a must-watch video because it speaks to what's happening and what they're spraying in our skies. So let me see if I can just explain this briefly, simply. But the agenda is to poison land, air, sea, and humans. Why? Because it's God's creation. The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Revelation 16, God will destroy those who destroy the earth. Why do they want to destroy the earth? Because God created the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that in them is. Why do they want to destroy mankind? Because man is made in the image of God. Why do they want to destroy all of the food supply? Because God created that. And Satan wants to destroy it. And so that's one of the reasons, by the way, that they're burning down and destroying all of these food warehouses. That's still happening, by the way. And please, in fact, I like how Dane says it. Please don't believe me. I listened to his broadcast yesterday on YouTube. He says, please don't believe me. I'm like, whoa. And then he says this, you do your own research. Don't take my word for it. And I mean, if you're willing to look into this, here's what you're going to find. They want to poison all the food supply, the water supply. They're destroying the earth so that nothing grows, so that Bill Gates can sell you a Beyond Burger. I was thinking maybe you would laugh at that, but maybe this is not that funny, and maybe it's not. So, you know, these fast food chains, right? It's not even real food anymore. And some have even suggested that they're putting stuff in the food that you and I are buying and eating that is killing us, poisoning us. They're spraying in the skies poisons, toxins. So all you got to do is a ground sample, and you'll find all of these metals that are killing people, causing cancer, by the way, sprayed in the sky. And it's all under the banner of climate change, because we've got to cool the earth, so we're going to block the sun. That's why it is. Now, we're, other than the 4th of July here on the windward side of the island, we were getting sprayed, by the way. But other than that, it's not as bad, but there are some places on the mainland, when you look up in the sky, it is just this gray, silver, I mean, it's all these chemicals. You can go out at night with a flashlight and shine it up in the sky, you'll see all these nanoparticles floating around in the air. They want to kill us. And you've got these people that I, and you'll forgive me, but I don't know whether they're still fully human. I think they may already be transhuman. But you've got these people saying things like, we want to reduce the population by X percent by Y year. And the year that they're talking about and the percentages they're talking about are not, you know, the year 2080. No, they actually kind of upped it. And it's called Agenda 2030. So that's 8 years from now, where they want you to own nothing and be happy in these smart cities that they're building, which are actually prisons. They're camps. Let's build a wall to keep them out. No, to keep you in. You ever thought of it like that? How you doing? Were you okay? Because got really quiet on that one. This is what they're doing. And it's already happening. And we're told it would happen. And now it is beginning to come to pass exactly as we were told it would. Now, what does this mean? Well, I don't know how anyone can come to any other conclusion other than the rapture's at the door. Pastor, you say that every single week. I know. Just so you know, for whatever it's worth, there is coming a week where I will not say it. Because I won't be here to. That's how close we are. Can I just appeal to your God-given intellect and reason and logic and your God-given ability to just think this through? That all of these prophecies, we went back to 1948, starting with the rebirth of the nation of Israel, to the present in 2022. And we've seen how fast all of those major prophecies have been fulfilled. So wouldn't it stand to reason? I want to appeal to your reason. Let's reason together. Wouldn't it stand to reason that if all that happened that fast, that all that's yet to happen will happen even faster? Did you hear about this report last week? I didn't have time. So many things that I leave out. I probably shouldn't tell you that. You're like, what? What did you leave out? Well, I'll pick it up maybe, Lord willing, on another update. But you might have heard about this. The scientists are baffled because they can't figure out why the earth is now spinning faster than it ever has. I love it when God does that. Because I think that's another prophecy, by the way. What do you mean? Oh, how about when Jesus said that unless, for the sake of the elect, unless those days were shortened, no flesh, no human would survive. So I got to speed it up. Because as fast as everything is happening, I knew something was up because I think like it was just yesterday that we were here on Sunday morning. Okay, never mind. That's just between me and the Lord. But I mean, Thursdays are coming faster and Sunday mornings are coming faster. I got to work faster because things are happening faster. Jesus said, "Behold, I come quickly." When things are revving up, speeding up, things are moving so fast, there's this, what I call, unstoppable momentum. We've talked about this in prior updates. Strike while the prophetic iron is hot. You've heard it this way. Never let a good crisis go to waste. And they're not. And, Revelation 12, Satan knows that he has but a short time. Oh, would to God the Christians knew that. Time is short. Now is the time. There is no more time. This is why this God's church that I am profoundly privileged to pastor is all about getting Jesus to people and people to Jesus now. Now. There's no more time. And this is why we do the updates and have for years, by the way. And this is why we end with the gospel and the explanation of salvation by way of the ABCs of salvation, which I want to do now. And please, I know I do this every week. You know, here we go. I got this memorized. Good. It's about time. That's the whole point. So when the Lord presents an opportunity for you to share the gospel, you got something to use. You got a tool. I'm equipping you. It's on you now, by the way. It's a very simple explanation of the gospel. It's childlike simple. What's the A? The A is for admit or acknowledge. And this is not a formula, but if you really think about it, I'm not going to be interested in the Savior. The person you're sharing Christ with and getting Jesus to is not going to be interested in Jesus as their Savior if they don't first realize and understand that they're a sinner. Because if I'm a sinner, I need a Savior. Well, you're a sinner. You have to tell them. like that. You don't say it like that. You dirty, rotten, stinking sinner. You'll probably not be able to get very much further with that. A lot of times, the best way to go about this is to share how you came to Christ. You know, I just came to this place where I realized, wait a minute, I've sinned against God. Romans 3:10, there is no one righteous, not even one. I thought I was a good person, but apparently I can't be good enough. And Romans 3:23 tells me why. It's because all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So we've all sinned. We were all born sinners, which is why Jesus said we must be born again in order to enter the kingdom of heaven. Well, Romans 6:23 explains how to be born again. And it starts off with the bad news, which is the wages of sin is death. So everyone was born a sinner, so now everyone that was born has been sentenced to death. That's the bad news. It's the death penalty. And that readies us and steadies us for the good news. Jesus came and went to his death in our stead to pay our penalty for our sin. That's the good news. So yeah, you've been sentenced to death, but Jesus says, I'll die for you. I'll pay the penalty for you. And he did. And he paid in full. It is finished. We are not our own, but purchased with a price. It cost him everything to purchase this gift, which is the gift of God, which is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. It's a gift. He paid for it on the cross. In his death, in our place, and he offers us the gift. Listen, that's a good deal, isn't it? That's really good news. Because prior, I was going to go to my own death and pay for my own sin, because the wages of sin is death, and Jesus died for me. And instead of death, I get eternal life. Wait. Let me see here now. That's a tough choice. Death, eternal life. Don't tell me. Dun, 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 dun. You'll forgive the silly illustration, but I think you get the point. That's the gospel. The word gospel means good news. Your debt has been paid. You're free to go. And whom the Son has set free is free indeed. So when you accept that gift that he paid for, then the Holy Spirit indwells you, lives inside of you, and lives a holy life in and through you and instead of you. You have God living in you. Holy Spirit, holy life. And it's a sanctifying, regenerating process from the inside out, where I am made holy, I am made righteous because of the Holy Spirit indwelling me, and I'm born again of the Spirit of God. I'm a new creation in Christ. Old things have passed away. That's the A, here's the B, and it's actually as simple as B, by the way. I had this conversation just recently with somebody. They wanted me to explain to them why it is that all we need to do is believe. It's not believe and insert tab A and slot B and then do C. No. Just believe. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Romans 10:9-10 says, if you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you will be saved. And that brings us to the C, lastly, which is for call upon the name of the Lord, or as Romans 10:9-10 also says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Here's how it works. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. And then Romans 10:13. All who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Think about, we call him the thief on the cross. We don't know if that's what his crime was, but we'll say he was a thief for purpose of discussion. That's what he did. The other guy rejected, but he accepted. He believed, and he asked, called out to Jesus and said, when you enter into your kingdom, will you take me with you? And what was Jesus' response? I don't know, dude. You got to get off the cross somehow, get water baptized first. You got to join a church. You got to... No. Again, I'm sorry for the silly illustration. He said, verily, verily, I say unto you, this day you'll be with me in paradise. You got saved. He asked, confessed, called upon the Lord, asked the Lord, believed. He tells his fellow criminal who's also dying, hey, we're up here paying with our life the death penalty, our death sentence. This man did nothing wrong. He's innocent. We're not. We transgressed. We sinned. We broke the law. That's why we're up here. He admitted, acknowledged, realized that he needed the Savior. And he believed in his heart. And he called out to Jesus, and he was saved. It's that simple. Well, I want to share with you today's But God testimony. It's kind of a doozy. It comes from Lori Wells of Medford, Oregon, who writes, Pastor JD, as tears stream down my face after listening to your latest But God testimony and hearing the verse in Ephesians 3:20, exceedingly abundantly above and beyond anything we could have ever imagined. I too have a story. I have been an ICURN for 36 years, and the last 2 years have been horrific as I have been in the middle of the pandemic with my eyes wide open to what is actually going on, the killing of human beings right in front of my eyes. I had to get out as God led me to do so. Only a month before I was going to be put on administrative leave for not receiving the jab. God told me and my husband, also in healthcare, to take a stand and I will provide. I went out on FMLA due to the PTSD I experienced in this, quote, Nazi environment, especially after seeing one of my pastors die after having COVID on a vent. He was my last ICU patient, but God gave me another job with a hospital system in my same town that accepted my religious accommodation. Little did I know, I would be facing my own nightmare in this evil COVID scheme. My very healthy husband and I contracted COVID on our vacation to Arizona, and we tried to get home with our RV. Stuck in our trailer, unable to travel due to us being so sick, we were in one spot for 5 days. Finally, our church family came to get us out of there, and by the time we got home, my amazing husband was so sick. I tried to nurse him as much as I could at home with oxygen, but the next day an ambulance came to get him to take him to the hospital. I was literally with him day and night, even having to get an attorney to get me in to be with him for 6 weeks. He was intubated after 2 weeks of trying to do everything to get him well again, but they refused to continue his steroids, citing he has already had his 10-day course. Even with me begging, it was to no avail. I had him transferred to a larger hospital to be on a special ventilator. He had such great care at that hospital that I used to work at, but the damage, the COVID, and the refusal to treat him early took its toll on his lungs, and his work was finished on this earth. I had to do the unthinkable that I have done so many times in my career. I had to make the decision to take him off the ventilator on December 29th, 2021, 2 days before he would turn 62. Thousands of people were praying for him all over the world, but I have rest in God's sovereignty. And Ralph, her husband, had a day to be born and a day to go to heaven, but God. He has provided for me because of my FMLA leave. I have been given close to a full paycheck since September 15th, 2021, without even working one day. Life insurance to pay off my house and time off to heal and grieve. As of mid-July, I now have a new job, a lot lower pay, as it isn't in the hospital, but miracles do happen as my disability policy from the hospital system I got fired from on April 30th for not taking the jab will make up the difference in my pay. And my husband's life insurance policy will also pay off our house. The provision has been more than I can ever imagine. This is the exceedingly abundantly above and beyond. It has been a miracle. I have since gone on a 3-week mission trip to Central America to serve in my grief, spread the gospel, and the healing has been amazing, as well as the love I am receiving from my family, friends, and church. God is good, even in the tough times. I have been listening to you since 2020, and yes, I believe Jesus is coming for his church any day now. We are ready, Lord. Blessings on your ministry. Keep speaking the truth, Pastor. Praise the Lord. Capone, come on up. The ways and the wise of God. Who knows the mind of the Lord? You can stand. We'll close in prayer and song. Father in heaven, we're just in awe of you, really. Because what has been done is meant for evil. But you, O God, have meant it for good. For the salvation of many this day. You have brought good out of unspeakable evil. And Lord, we're so thankful to you for always providing, always being there, even during those times when it seems like the pain is so intense, the night is so dark. The suffering is so hard, but you're still there. And you care. And you move your mighty hand on our behalf. And as we're going to talk about in James shortly, you answer every prayer the same exact way we would answer our own prayers if we knew what you knew, because you know the end from the beginning. So Lord, thank you for that. We give you all the glory. Lord, lastly, I just want to ask if there's anyone here in this church that I'm so privileged to pastor or watching online that has never believed in you, put their trust in you, calling upon you. I pray that today it would be the day of their salvation, the first day of their eternal life. It starts now. Not tomorrow. Now, today. Today's the day of salvation. I ask you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Oh, soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior, and life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace.
God bless you, folks.